Blog Talk Hello. Radio.
Hello. Anybody else? Dan Kofa Radio. Dan Kofa Radio. Dan Kofa Radio Live. Welcome to Dan Kofa Radio, where we travel through the past, stop here at the present on our journey into the future. I'm your host, Sunday Otto Ray Vaughn, also known as True Son, with my co-host, Askari Don. So today's show, we will be talking about Principle of Kwanzaa, which is Emoja. Askari, you with me? Askari, you with me?
Hey. Sunday, yeah, I'm with you, bro. Excuse me?
I was letting the audience know that today's principle, first principle of Kwanzaa, is Emoja.
Sure.
That that's the principle of unity. And I want you to elaborate and break down what unity means to you and give us a understanding of Emoja and where does that term come from and what language that is.
Absolutely. So you know, it's customary that we always start the show, man, with a dedication. Before I get into Emoja, I wanna say to the people, man, tonight's dedication is to a great Pan African brother, man, scholar, author, just serious African warrior, Amos Wilson. The brother was very instrumental in my development, man. One of my favorite books by Dr. Wilson is a book called African Centered Consciousness versus the New World Order. And the subtitle is Godism in the Age of Globalism. And man, so tonight's topic, what he talks about is our African consciousness and the importance of it in building black unity, man, building unity in our communities, in our families. The brother was just a beast, man. He helped me understand black on black crime and the pathologies of black on black crime. He was a great brother. He passed in 1995. He's from Mississippi, well-educated, worked at New York University, professor, very qualified brother. So I encourage people to check out Dr. Amos Wilson. Emoja, man, you know, true, you know how it is with Kwanzaa, man. You know it's a big thing for us in here, but even more than that, Kwanzaa is a celebration of African values. You know what I'm saying? It's not about commercialism. It's not about gifts. It's a time where we go back to our traditions prior to our enslavement. You know, just putting human beings and God at the center of our communities. You know what I'm saying? And so this is a time where the first fruits harvest, which is what Kwanzaa stands for, the first fruit harvest, Matunda Ya Kwanzaa, to be exact, is a time where we look at the top of the year as the time where we celebrate what we've done the last year and go ahead and recommit ourselves to our values for the upcoming year. The first value that we're trying to commit ourselves to is unity, you know what I'm saying? And unity being, according to Dr. Milana Karenga, who's the founder of Kwanzaa, he says we are to strive for a principled and harmonious togetherness in the family, community, nation, and world African community. You know what I'm saying? So that's essentially what unity is, man. It's a coming together, becoming one with one agenda and one objective. But I want to ask you, bro, you know what I'm saying? I mean, why we struggle with that? Like, where we at today, 2015, what the hell is going on, man?
What is
up with black people, dog?
Yeah, it's deep. And unity, you know, that's been the call since coming over here, 1619. Today, nowadays, why we struggle with unity? It's so many factors. There's so many factors that I see and I think, you know, just dealing with the society we in is very individualistic, I think, and due to how we were educated, you know, it's this divide and conquer, it's this self-hate that's promoted in his story, you know, not teaching our story, and the images we see, most of the images that we see through television of black people is always us against each other. There's no promotion of unity amongst the black family, you know, amongst the original people. And because of that, you know, it creates that division, you know, it creates that. And all the righteous brothers who came forth, ancestors who came forth to try to spread that idea and concept, you know, we're taking out the equation. Because even when you're dealing with mathematics, you know, power is in the numbers. And the powers that be know that. You know, if you got everybody on one common ground, one common cause, all together, they know the power in that. So they're going to do everything they can to keep that out of the equation. You know what I'm saying? So
I want to ask you a question.
Yeah.
I don't mean to touch your wound, but I remember you told me that you went to Brother Minister's 10-10-15 Million Man March 20-year anniversary, right?
Yes, sir.
And so when you were there, did you feel like, you know what I'm saying, there was a lot of unity? Did you feel like there was a unified objective? Did you feel like, I mean, what was your sense of that in relationship to unity?
I did. It was the same. You know, I was just building with my wisdom about this, right? And, yeah, it was a feeling of unity. It was one of the same feelings that people got when Barack Obama first came into office. You know, it was this hope. It was this optimism.
Okay.
It was this positive energy permeating the atmosphere, you know.
Okay.
But it's always like that. It's always, we only come together during dire situations. When you think about the whole black family phenomenon in America, when do black people come together? At a funeral, at some tragic event, you know, some call of emergency, when we come together. And after that event, it goes right back. It's like the fire has to stay burning, you know, and whatever method we have to use to keep that fire burning, we have to find it and keep it going. You know what I'm saying? It was that event, people came together. You know, people was on one common cause for that day. But soon after, you know, everybody just started going right back to that same individual. I ain't gonna say individualistic, but back to their problems and struggles without keeping the idea going. You know, you got to keep the idea going. You know what I'm saying? It's a lifestyle, just like working out or going on a diet. You know what I'm saying? You got to practice this thing. You see what I'm saying? You can't just go to the gym one day like, yeah, I'm gonna get swole up and brolic and beast, and then the next day you don't go to the gym. Every single day you got to practice that principle. You know, if it's saying unity, that means I got to see my brother as I see myself. I got to want for my brother what I want for myself. I got to want for my sister what I want for my daughter. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
We really
got to start
looking at each other as like family, you know. And I think if we don't do that, it's going to be hard, you know what I'm saying, especially in this day and time now.
Right. And I agree with that, man. Another Pan brother, a great scholar, Dr. Malefi Asante, he says consciousness precedes unity. And what he's stressing in that is that, you know, people don't unify simply by just coming together, but people unify around ideas. You know what I'm saying? It's the ideas that bring them together, right? So what you promote is an idea. You know what I'm saying? It's a human idea. It's what we call in the Pan-African culture, Ubuntu. I am because we are because we are.
Ubuntu.
I am. You know what I'm saying? My existence is only able to be recognized through the collective. You know what I'm saying? Without other people, I'm not even able to recognize my existence. You know what I'm saying? And so I have to, you know, it's crazy because I'm looking at the chick Hillary Clinton. You know, she wrote a book, though, called It Takes a Village to Raise a Child, The Nerve of This Woman, right? But she wrote a book called It Takes a Village to Raise a Child. And this is very important to the conversation because when you say that, what you're challenging is this notion, this American idea that you can pull yourself up by the bootstrap, personal responsibility, that you are the sole reason why you're going through your circumstance. You dig what I'm saying?
Right.
So my question to you, man, Because, I, you know, I challenge that because I don't think that, you know, again, I'm of the Mbutu mindset. I believe that I'm a part of a society, a family, a community. You know what I'm saying? I know when my mom gave birth to me, you know what I'm saying? She didn't just leave me out in the woods, you know what I'm saying, to tell me pull myself up by the bootstrap. So my first, you know what I'm saying? So my first nature is social, dog. It was because of another person that I'm here talking to you now. And everything that I know, you know what I'm saying, came from my experience, whether it was through book knowledge or domestic knowledge of my family or the streets or whatever, how I became who I am today. So so collective, there's some collective responsibility for what the village made, too. You know what I'm saying? I am American, you're American, you dig?
So
that being said, the question, I'm going to, you know what I mean? And so we got to
exactly
ask ourselves, if we not, what'd you say, bro?
I know exactly what you mean. Yeah. I just had this conversation yesterday. And go ahead, let's just finish.
Well, I'm just going to say in a quick, if we're not unified, the question we got to ask ourselves is, why is it that there's not that common idea, that common value system? Why do we have such a wide, varying range of value systems in this society that go contrary to what the alleged primary value system is? You know what I'm saying? Look at the
Look
at the military, bro. You know what I'm saying? That's an example of how they build unity. You know what I'm saying? When they bring you to the military, you know what I'm saying? They put you through basic training, and basic training is not just about physical fitness, but it's about training your mind, getting you in tune with an idea. You know what I'm saying? Getting you to accept this idea. You know, no man left behind. You know what I'm saying? We all brothers to the end. You know what I'm saying? And then so you go out to battle with this mindset that transcends everything from race to class, you know, and they unify around this idea with the flag. So that's what we got to do, you know what I'm saying? But add on, bro. What you thinking?
That's right. You know, when you talk about the military, it was this general named General Stilwell, a four-star general, and he spoke about how during the 1930s, how they transformed or enhanced their propaganda when they started drafting the new younger soldiers, and basically said in this propaganda, what they actually did was condition the cadet or acquaint him with the fact that he will die for his country. But in dying for his country, that was the greatest service that he could do. But every day they would drill this concept in him that it was nothing greater than being a soldier and dying for your country. You know what I'm saying? So they was bombarded with this thought. Every single day they train, eat, sleep, and bred this concept. You see what I'm saying?
No doubt.
So it was a programming. And today, nowadays, the original people have been programmed to a degree, somehow tricked to believe that there's really nothing going on. Like, the problems that we face are not there. They know something not right, but they can't really pinpoint it. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
And so it's like they can't come together because they feel like they ain't really, well, it's a new day now. Man, slavery over with. You know what I'm saying? And them people ain't carrying us. Or, you know, even though they see the police shootings and stuff like that, they still think anytime you start talking about the struggles of black people in America that it's outdated. You know, so that people are playing the blame game. And one thing Harriet Tubman said, you know, they asked her how many slaves did she free. She said, I freed a lot, but I could have freed a whole lot more if they only knew that they were slaves. You know what I'm saying? And if they only knew. So you have people nowadays who kind of like ignore or turn a blind eye or just in a blatant state of denial onto what's going on. You know, even when you present them with facts, you know, because they done been so bombarded with all these false notions and ideas and concepts that they don't think nothing going on. They think everything is all right. You know what I'm saying? Until they shine themselves. Huh?
My bad. Until they find themselves
in a situation where they got disrespected by law enforcement or blamed for something or set up or until they find themselves on a bad end of the stick, and then just like black people at a funeral, that's when they want to come together. You know what I'm saying? When something bad happened to them, now is an outrage. But like Martin Luther King said, it's if it affects one person directly, then it affects us all indirectly. You know what I'm saying?
Today it can happen
to you, but tomorrow it can happen to the next man. So if it happened to you today, then it can happen to me tomorrow. So your problem is my problem. You see what I'm saying?
That's right.
Shout out to Dr. King, man.
And it's crazy because injecting Malcolm into the conversation. Malcolm said, "What do you call a black man with a PhD?" And he said that because at the end of the day, I'm making light of the situation, but at the end of the day, what the brother was speaking to, man, was how in a society that's built on racial hegemony and blackness being at the bottom of the totem pole, then, you know, no matter what you do, no matter how high you climb, you're still going to face restrictions. Ironically, I'm talking about this conversation. I seen Kanye West about 2 months ago on Jimmy Kimmel Live, bro. And he was talking about with his clothing line, he was unable to break certain ceilings. You know what I'm saying? When he came to Europe, Versace and some of these other high fashion brands, they was blocking him.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? They won't let him in. And he was like, it's racist.
Right.
You know, he made that album Yeezus because he's starting to experience what it's like, no matter how much money he get. He's starting to realize that at the end of the day, in this European global world, he's still a nigga. You know what I'm saying? And it makes me think about the fact that Michael Larry Bison said, man. He said that there's three modes of blackness. He said there's what you call accidental blackness, incidental blackness, and intentional blackness, right? So he identified accidental blackness as that individual who, you know, they don't want to deal with blackness. You know what I'm saying? Oh, man, I ain't with that. You know what I mean? Blacks need to get themselves together. We need to stop crying. We need to stop whining. You know what I'm saying? That's the accidental black. You know what I'm saying? The black Republican, if you will. Then it's the incidental black. You know what I'm saying? Who's on it? Like, you know, well, yeah, my blackness, you know what I'm saying? It's a factor. But at the end of the day, you know what I'm saying? I don't pay too much attention to that. You know what I'm saying? I deal with it. I, you know, celebrate Black History Month. I might even attend a Kwanzaa or two here or there, man. But I ain't racist. You know, I got white friends, you know what I'm saying? Shit, I'm a white woman, you know, I'm a white man. Then you got intentional black, you know, which is brothers like you and myself who, you know, our identity is shaped and rooted in our blackness. You know what I'm saying? We try to get as close to our blackness as possible. And I bring that into the conversation because I feel like this may be a factor in why it is we can't unify. You know what I'm saying? We got different modes of blackness. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And so we're talking about a black agenda. But how are we going to have a black agenda, man, when we don't have the same concept of black consciousness?
True.
You hear me, brother? What you think about that, man?
I think that's right on point. I think that is exactly what's going on, my brother. You're right. There's different perspectives on blackness and on the struggle. And I was just in a conversation yesterday about this same exact thing where an individual said, you know, we playing too much to the blame game. I feel like, you know, what happened a long time ago, and now is black people who shooting themselves, killing themselves, and wanting to use drugs and wanting to hurt and degrade the women and, you know, kill the kids, accident, do drive-by shootings and these things. And I asked her this question. I said, okay, now, if I was a doctor and you came in to my office and you were seeking help and I injected you with a virus and then after being injected with this virus, you don't know that I injected you with this virus. Now, everywhere you go, you starting to spit up. You know, you spit up in the dinner table. You know, you spit up when you talk to people. You know, you showing signs of sickness, but you don't know where it comes from. So who's to blame for you spitting up everywhere, you know, for you vomiting? You blame the doctor or do you blame the person who's sick? You know, and that's basically the same thing going on with black people in America from my perspective is from the facts that I accumulated. You know, prior to coming over here, we all have basically one common cause. We was all in a state of independence. But now, being introduced to America, the second generations who came from that enslavement lost the knowledge of who they were, and it was injected. They were injected with this false knowledge. They were injected with this trick knowledge, you know, to see themselves as less than, you know. And when they were seeing themselves as less than, they lost value for themselves. And when they lost value for themselves, they lost value for everybody who looked like them, you know. And, you know, because I was saying how when a doctor in, who's to blame when a doctor injects a patient with a virus, and that virus causes the patient to start vomiting, you know, everywhere this patient go, they just start to vomit. Do you blame the patient for vomiting, or do you blame the doctor who injected them with that virus? You see what I'm saying? And that's synonymous to black people coming over here in America. You know, when we came over here, we was injected with a sickness. We was injected with this separate, individualistic, you know, valueless, self-true, you know, and it has us acting in a certain way. And then if you just discard a group of people to a dirty corner of society, and you strangle the economy or the cash flow in this area, you put alcohol there, you put drugs there, you give them outdated school books and unfunded schools just built on top of landfills, you know, how you think they're going to behave? You see what I'm saying? Who do you blame? Yes, sir.
Who do you blame?
Right.
There has to be some blame on the people that created the condition. But I want to say this. I want to do this before we move any further, man, because I'm proud of you, bro. And, you know, this my man right here, everybody on the outside listening. We was in here together, my man, True Son, man. He overcame this. He redeemed himself. He out there doing some positive things, man. I know you just started your nonprofit Operation Network. And I'm proud of you, man. You know, you just... And you took the knowledge, man, and you took it to the land, and you're trying to give back to the community so people don't think you just on here talking. But brother, living his life for real. I'm in here doing everything I can. You know how I do, educating, building, trying to get brothers' minds right to go back to them streets. And you out there actually doing it, trying to get the youth right. So I'm proud of you, man. You
That's
ain't
right.
no image on the news of somebody committing another crime that they try to promote to claim that they still need these torture chambers. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. True indeed, brother. Sure indeed, and I'm definitely proud of you. And you, yes, sir. You know, you inspire me always, brother. You know how I go. You know.
So moving the conversation along, solutions.
Yeah.
One solution, obviously, is what you're doing, Operation Network, creating platforms where we can educate, train the minds of young black males and females. That's very, very important because we got to give them an alternative consciousness to the materialistic, selfish, individualistic, opportunistic consciousness that they're being inundated with in mainstream American society. You know what I'm saying? Basically, man, we gotta get them to want to love themselves and love the people around them. You know what I'm saying? So I love what you're doing with that.
Right.
I also think, man, we gotta build more institutions of warriorship, man. You know what I'm saying? And we gotta build institutions, in my opinion, where we promote black love between the black man and the black woman. Because a very instrumental part, man, to the underdevelopment, if you will, of American Africans is the fact that our families are broken. You know what I'm saying? And that's causing a whole cycle, because it's creating generations of kids who don't have both parents in the education of both parents. And the gender warfare between the black male and the black female, man, is a main contributor to the fact that we have these dysfunctional homes, man. I hear women now, man, you know, they sound like the dudes. You know what I'm saying? I beat the nigga for that. You know what I mean? And it's just crazy because it's not their fault. I'm not blaming them. I don't blame the victim like Malcolm say. I just understand that, you know, they've been conditioned to think that their equality is trying to emulate us, you know what I'm saying? Because we ain't respected they women, you know what I'm saying? So give me some insight on that, man. Like, what solution-wise, you know, black love, the family, like, where you at with that, man?
Well, from my observation on the situation, is a myriad of different alternatives, you know? Like, a lot of black women have lost hope in the black man. A lot of black women they already know the games these brothers playing. And a lot of them, basically, at this day and age, at this level of reality, they're not even wasting time no more. You know, they're not wasting time. A lot of them have single parents raising two children, two or three kids. You know, they got bills to pay. So they're not even trying to hear the game these brothers playing. You know, and they like, either you trying to do right and help me, or you just trying to play games. And if you're trying to play games, I ain't got time for that. So you got that type of sister. Then you do have the sister who have been hurt by the brothers, and they convert over to having sex with another woman. You know, they build up this defense system, you know, and feel like, what a man can do, you know, I can do too, you know. I don't need a man, you know, because they done been hurt and abused by a man, so they go with another woman. But the crazy thing is that even the lesbian relationship, you know, they still cheat around on each other, even in those situations. You see what I'm saying? Because there's a hypersensual propaganda or social engineering that's created in this day and time. And that's all a part, you know, if you ask me, dealing with birth control propaganda, where they trying to, you know, stop the black man and woman from reproducing, you know, through encouraging homosexual activity or lesbian activity, you know.
Go ahead, I'm sorry. So, that's a deep conversation. I want to open
Pandora's box.
Yeah, you feel me? Because I understand your concept, though. Let me say that there.
Right.
I will say this, man. There's an attack on black manhood. Let's agree with that. There's definitely an attack on black manhood. I grew up in the 90s, though. You feel me? I grew up when you wore baggy pants, baggy shirts.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You did not even play around with homosexuality. You know what I'm saying? It was all about being masculine. Manhood was directly linked to masculinity. It was linked with toughness, aggression. And we might have OD'd a little bit. Ain't no question. We was out of control. But it was certain things that you just did not do. You never played homosexual games. And again, I'm not trying to tell Big Bit on the phone, because you live your life, you live your life. But what I'm saying is there's obviously been some type of plan or plot in society.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Where it's become so much more socially acceptable. You know what I mean? To be able to swing that way. It's almost been encouraged. You know what I'm saying? I remember, one time when I was watching the Duke game, this way back in the day, man, and it was a dude on Duke, Buffalo, and Christian Leighton. And, because I was a diehard Duke fan. They went to go play Michigan, man. Michigan had the Fab Five back then. He had the baggy shorts and all that. And I remember, man, the crowd just started, you know what I'm saying? Leighton is a faggot, you know what I'm saying? Excuse my, to anybody who may be offended by my language, but that's what the crowd was screaming, you know what I'm saying? Leighton is a, you know what I'm saying? So that's how, in that time, that's indicative of how that was seen as offensive to be identified in that way. You know what I mean?
Right.
Now, again, I'm not saying that I agree with anybody being repressed. I ain't saying I agree with anybody not being able to be free and live their life. I'm not knocking that. But where I'm going and where I will say I kind of see your position is that the black manhood has been under attack, and I think black manhood being under attack has led to some of the things you talked about, with black womanhood now being under attack, and I think it's leading to the conflict in our families, because let's be real, dog. You know what I'm saying? Some of the things that we've been afflicted by is unique to the black community. You feel me?
Epidemics,
man.
Field package
and social groups. You're not seeing the Asians dealing with this. You're not seeing the Hispanics dealing with this. You're not seeing Europeans dealing with this. The Muslims or the Arabs dealing with this. But when it comes to the black community, we have unique particular dysfunctions, man. And so we got to begin to ask ourselves, what's causing these unique particular dysfunctions, bro? We got to be honest about
that. Right.
We got to stop just falling in line with the concept of post-racial while we're dealing with this cognitive dissonance of observing police shooters in the middle of the street.
You finished, man. You finish.
Oh, for real?
Yeah.
He said 9 seconds. You ain't listening.
Yeah.
I ain't hear.
Yeah.
I heard.
Yeah, he was flowing.
I heard.